Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's good, internet? It's Friday, January 22nd, and you're listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 372. I'm your host, Rob Zachney, and today I am joined by Patrick Klepek.
Hello.
Patrick.
I said hello.
Did you?
I didn't hear you say hello.
Nope. I didn't hear shit.
Nope. There's, no one heard shit.
This, you know what? I'm looking at this waveform. I can see it right here. It's a nice little blip.
Oh, it's Mr. Stronk waveforms.
Yeah.
Oh, Kato's gonna go rising back from the line, soaring toward heaven.
Listeners of this podcast are going to listen to this podcast
nobody
and go.
Can hear you, Patrick.
You know, I heard the hello. If you heard the hello, get at me in my mentions. At Patrick Klepek. Let me know if you hear the hello. Hashtag heard the hello.
I need to check Strong your plug. Noise gate in Discord, but and to help us sort out various issues like this, our producer Ricardo Contreras.
Hello, hi. See, this is how you say hello and don't hit your noise gate.
And finally, we welcome back after a long absence our friend, freelance writer, critic, Cameron Gonzelman.
Hello.
Nice. A strong hello.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Cam reviewed Hitman 3 for us this week. And I think a bunch of us have been playing Hitman, and some of us have been revisiting old levels and catching up on what we missed with the saga of Agent 47 and the ICA and Providence and the Constant.
Mm-hmm. No, that was a lost episode, last I remember.
And Euro Big Boss?
See, Rob, you just got to jump straight into the third one and go, not watching a lore video, don't give a shit about what is going on, I'm just trying to figure out what to do with this apple. And, like, that's where your mind's got to go. Don't worry about this long monologue that's being given by this side character whose voice actor you're pretty sure you know, but you're not quite sure, but you don't care enough to Google it. You're just trying to get to the next bit and see if you can kill this man with a banana. Turns out you can kill a man with a banana. The game says non-lethal item. Turns out if you dizzy them first with a soda can and then hit them with the banana as they get up, lethal. Lethal banana.
Does that still read as an accident?
Did I what?
Does that read as an accident? Like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it says a non-lethal, you know, undiscovered kill or whatever. That banana. Loophole. Maybe it's a heavy load of, you know, there's an exploding golf ball I haven't found on that level. So maybe this is like a lead banana that has just like a little extra weight in it.
So, Patrick, you notoriously don't care about game stories.
That's untrue.
Patrick, I think you define wow. yourself as Mr. Basic, just, I don't care about this fancy narrative stuff. Mm-hmm. Get me to the game.
Mm-hmm. What's Dark Souls about, Patrick?
I ask Austin to tell me what Dark Souls is about. And then he gets mad at me.
But, Cam, if memory serves, you have a slightly different relationship with at least the Hitman story. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the past you've generally enjoyed the narrative work this recent trilogy has done in Hitman 1 and 2. But with Hitman 3, your review went up this week, and one of your real frustrations seemed to be that the mixture got bad for you. The ratios were all wrong here in Hitman 3. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Hitman 3 is, where it falls into the fiction of the world of assassination, and what's happening here in Hitman 3 that's different from the first two?
Well, there's a world of assassination. I hope y'all know about that. Have you heard the good news? It's the world assassination.
They are not risen.
but yeah, so like the previous two games had all this kind of like proper noun stuff that you're talking about. And it had, Patrick, you know, these kind of things that you're talking about skipping through in between. But they're always in between. And like other than Hitman Absolution, I would say the vast majority of Hitman plot from Hitman 1 all the way to Hitman 3. Although there are like seven games in there, weirdly enough, the vast majority of it is that, right? So narrative and story sets context for what you're doing, but it doesn't really impact the levels too much other than saying, oh, this is someone who is a business person and you've got to murder them. They're a race car driver and they're scary. They're involved with the bad guys, right? Like there's that kind of stuff, but it's all context. And so Patrick, like you're talking about, right? Like in previous games, you could... In Hitman 1 and 2 for this new trilogy, you could, you know, kind of pay attention at your leisure. And I really liked Hitman 1 and 2 for that reason, because it was like, oh, yeah, there is this cool, interesting kind of light spy story, you know, that's involved in genetic engineering. You know, Hitman initially comes out, the first Hitman game initially comes out in the late 90s. And so there's like all this clone panic going around. I mean, you know, 47 is a clone. So there's like this techno thriller stuff that I like in a general sense. But what happens in Hitman 3 and what I wrote about in my review and what appears to be wildly out of step with the rest of the universe on this one, you know, I'll own up to that, is that. That context narrative is now just shot through like Swiss cheese through every single part of the game. So I don't want to get too spoilery because I think probably I guess that people really like the story, so they care about it. But I will say that, for example, there's one level later, the second to last level, the Argentina level, where Diana Burnwood shows up as an NPC in the level. And, you know, she's been your handler for all of these games. And, you know, you have to play the level in such a way that she doesn't die. And that's like its own kind of qualifier for the goal for the level. There's that. Your handler changes at different times. There's all this kind of additional narrative context for certain levels. So Berlin, when you're playing it in the campaign mode, you have to proceed through this kind of, I don't know, chase plot. That's maybe overstating it, but you have to like... go through this little intro, and this is the Hitman police coming to tell me that I'm wrong.
You're on the wrong side of the discourse, Cam.
Exactly. But so all of this, what used to be really cool context, I think, has turned into things that are in my face while I'm playing the game, and they're not interesting to me. You know, Rob, you and I had several conversations as I was playing, and as I was writing the review about it, but to me, this is just like, a lot of these narrative beats are the Bourne identity with the serial numbers filed off, or they are a bad episode of 24. And I don't want that in my Hitman game. Like I like that as like a fun thing to think about on the side, but I don't want to be thinking about that as I'm playing the game, because ultimately I think that robs me of some of the I don't know, the fun of Hitman.
All right, so I have a question. Yeah. Okay. Along those lines, as someone who I guess it's like as pretext, I've largely avoided these games because games in which the premise is, and I've always perceived this to be the sort of like the pitch of Hitman, is like, go in, find your own fun, like here's the sandbox. And that immediately gives me like legitimate stress, because like the kinds of games I like to play are often like are goal oriented. Like, here's an objective. We're going to put things in front of you. They're going to muddy up the waters. And then you need to figure out, like, against our rule set, like, how you're going to get to the other side. Mm-hmm. And Hitman has some of that. But, like, when I see, like, the video clips and I see Vinny, like, basically, when I spent time with Vinny Caravella at Giant Bomb, he could make, like, the most banal sequences, like, so funny and interesting. And I'm just like, I can't do that. This doesn't happen to me when I play video games, Vinny. You make me feel like a piece of shit when I play games because you have so much fun. And I feel like I'm just, I got to race this car to the other side. And Hitman seemed like the epitome of that, which is like, if you're not like doing something wacky and creative, then like you're not vibing with Hitman. And that's fine. Every game doesn't have to be for you. And this one, I was like, all right, I'm going to try and come at this honestly, like jump into this one, see if I can kind of jump on the train and get excited like everyone else is. And so what I'm trying to tease out here is that I found it very useful in Hitman 3 to like be following these story beats. There are, for people who haven't played, when you jump into the game, there are opening cutscenes, and then there are, as you explore, there are basically like different plot threads that you can stumble upon. And then the game will lead you with like big glowing, here's the next part of this chain. Like if you want to complete this A plot, or after you beat the mission once, you get a series of B plots that you can do. And these are separate from, you know, kill a person in the unique way or discover this item. Like these are specifically like follow this character and go through this story beats. And I found that as someone trying to learn the ropes of Hitman, like super useful, because if it had just dropped me in, it's like, here's a big world, figure it out, I would have gone, great. Like turns out Hitman still is not for me. But in Hitman 3, I really enjoyed, I've played like the first mission a bunch of times where I'm just following these plot beats, and that's like getting me acclimated to the world, its structure. It's like, oh, I can like find this and do this. So I guess I'm just trying to tease through. Are you speaking more to that, or is it like what I was joking about earlier, where like I go into a room and I have to sit through 90 seconds of a character monologuing before I can creatively kill like the two targets I've been sent to find?
I don't think there are very few times where you're having to sit through and listen to people monologue, although there are a couple parts of the game where, like, for example, in the Argentina level, where that game, when you play it, at least in the campaign mode, does open with this very arbitrary kind of story plot beat 90-second thing that you have to do, and similar with the Berlin level, too. No, I mean, I'm 100% on board with you. I love the story missions, is what those are called, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think those are really cool, and I actually think, and this is something else I talked about in my review, The ones where they have strengthened those are, I think, the worst ones for me. So I wrote, for example, about the one in the mansion. I'm blanking on the
Dartmoor.
I'm sorry, what was it called?
Dartmoor.
Yeah, Dartmoor.
This is the Knives Out level, basically.
Yes. Yeah, and it's a story mission, and I think it is abysmal. Like, I think it really is some of the worst like video game I've played, because it just turns into like a very bad approximation of an adventure game where you are going around and having to manually seek out, like, I don't know, 15 different clues, 10, 15 different clues, and you can't even progress past, you know, this little mission marker until you do it. It's like playing Banjo-Kazooie in a Hitman level, right? I'm like finding all these little coins or whatever. It's terrible. I don't care for it at all. But I agree with you that the structure of story missions are awesome. And I think what I have learned with Hitman 3 is that there's a really, I don't know, delicate balance for those things, right? When mm-hmm. they're just constrained enough to lead you through the level one time for you to kind of figure out, oh, this is what the path of these enemies looks like. This is how these, bits of architecture fit together.
I picked up some intel that is clearly not applicable to the mission that I'm on, but now I'm writing down a safe code, like, because mm-hmm. it did, like, I'm realizing, like, the beats of it, and like, I'm realizing, oh, sometimes important, like, intel, which is, like, hints about how the world works or something you could do, is saved by the game. It's like, hey, we're going to note this for you. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And this one time I stumbled upon a conversation. It was like, hey, like, the safe code is 693. I'm like, cool, the game's got that for me. And then, like, I found what I thought might be that safe, and it's like, no, the game does not have that for me. So I was like, all right, the next time I run through the level, I'll try and scoot over there. And then I wrote it down in my notebook so that, you know, whenever I try to goof with that. And like that part is, that's really neat. And I almost wish there were like more, like I find it unlikely that I'm going to go through these levels to do all the challenges. Mm-hmm. I kind of like looking at the challenges, like what can I do along the way? But mm-hmm. I feel like most likely what I'm going to end up doing is like, I'll do these story beats and then that's probably enough for me. And I just kind of wish there would end up being, obviously this is like difficult authored content, takes a lot of work, mm-hmm. but I have found just in the first like 4 or 5 hours, like that's the stuff that like really hooks me in. And I like experimenting. It's like a big box, and then they make a smaller box. And I like experimenting in that smaller box, but then also pushing against the boundaries when I want to.
Have you played an escalation yet?
No.
I think that might be the thing for you.
Okay, how does escalation work?
Escalations are kind of designed missions that are not the same as the story mission or anything like that, right? So the targets are different. They're kind of arbitrary. So, for example, in the mansion level, there's one of the escalations, I actually finished it last night, starts you in a hunting jacket, like an English hunting jacket, okay. And you have to go through the level killing bodyguards. Okay. And so the escalation part of it is that so for this one, there's three levels. And in Hitman 1 and 2, I think escalations mostly had 5 levels. So they're a little bit smaller for Hitman 3, I guess. I don't really know. So the first one's like, go in, you know, don't have any bodies found, kill two bodyguards. And you do that. And that's like not that difficult, especially if you've played through the level before, you're familiar with it, whatever. Then the second, then it escalates, right? So you play the mission again and it's kill three bodyguards. No bodies can be found and you have to do it all with one weapon.
Okay.
And there's no saving in the middle of the level. So you have to do it in one whack, right? So there's a lot of repetition. Speaking of Dark Souls earlier, right? There's a very similar kind of vibe of like, all right,
figuring out the pattern and then like tweaking your behavior. I got you. Okay.
Yeah. And then the last one is, I think it was kill seven bodyguards with an ornamental shotgun wearing the hunting outfit. And you can never change your outfit through the whole thing, right? And so escalations for me are kind of this really interesting kind of constraint space like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Where you can really play in the sandbox, but the sandbox is delimited. It's kind of the smaller version of the level in the sense of what you're able to do, because you can never change out of this outfit and there are the weapon requirements. And if you kill any other target that's not those targets, you automatically fail. So I think you should try some escalations. I think
I feel like I'm still scratching the surface and like figuring out. But I've found my worries were I was stressed at first, and then the more time I spent, like I spent a lot of time with the tutorial. Like I've goofed around in the first real area, but I really spent like 2.5 hours playing the tutorial and doing like the tutorial for. People are familiar is like, I guess is a level taken from an earlier Hitman game. It's on a boat. And I was like, I'm just going to go through every single one of the objectives it says I can do. And like that let me at least start building like a play space in my head where I like was able to relieve some of the stress of getting, cause like that level is like really tiny. Like it's just a boat. There's just a couple of spots around it. Whereas like when you get to, was it Dubai is like the first area, like in this tower, like it's a big space, like, and it's cool, but it's also just like, shit, man, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm going to follow this objective marker and kind of like work around the hallways nearby. But I spent a lot of time in that tutorial just trying to like wrap my head around like what is, and it wasn't fun for a while. Like it took me like a solid 90 minutes, right, to remind myself, like, just get like that feeling of like playing a game that you don't get and you're not, you can't tell if it's like, am I just not going to like this game? Or do I just need to like spend more time understanding its verbs and where like my interests lie and where the overlap is? And I found my way there in the tutorial when I accidentally, like I was trying to blow up the target with an explosive and I couldn't figure out like how to put it on the ground. I was like, just like hit X or whatever, like place it on the ground. And I threw it. And it just lock targeted to the head of the target, and so I threw the plastic explosive at their head. It knocked them out, but it was just unconscious. Didn't count as the kill. And I was like, oh, like this is Hitman. Like it's like kind of like an accident. Like I threw this detonator at you. So I walked around the corner and like set up my cool shot of pulling the detonator, which like shot him through the roof. Or like there was a different sequence yesterday where I was being. In the Dubai level, I was being like patted down and I accidentally hit down on like whatever you're last holding, you just drop it on the ground. So I just dropped a revolver on the ground. And everyone's like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like, oh, like moments like that. And I also find I need to like resist the impulse to save. Like, so like moments where you can't save, like I'm doing the quick save thing like too often and I know I shouldn't. And it's just like a fallback that I'm going on. So the idea that there are going to be quest objectives that are just like, hey, man, like you just figure it out and you can't save. My guess is I will enjoy quite a bit because it'll like get me to move off of that tendency.
Yeah, actually, last night, because the game has been having some server issues since launch and because it's always online. And so people have been getting booted out of levels and stuff. And so I was having trouble playing Hitman 3 last night, but I actually went back to the tutorial and did the escalations for that tutorial level. And I would encourage you to go and do those. Those are
okay.
They're interesting. They're a good intro to it. It's like, you know, kill the target, kill two targets with some conditions, kill the target and there's security cameras everywhere. And then there's like two additional levels after that. So it really does do a good job of kind of getting you into the flow. And I think like you're saying, I really like the Hitman levels or the Hitman games in a general sense. I've been playing them for a very long time, but I think I'm, you know, kind of in the same zone as you, Patrick, where I don't really play them to find my own fun in some ways. Right. Like that kind of like, woohoo, whatever happens, right? I also watch Vinny play and I'm like, this is not how I do this.
No, it's like the moment he like accidentally like throws a banana, I'm like, cool, like, all right, quick load, let's try that again. And like, I enjoy watching it, but because I think that's predominantly maybe this is my experience. Like, I've largely seen and internalized Hitman through like social media, my friends streaming. Streaming, the act of streaming is going to encourage a certain type of behavior, which is itself an escalation, like just in a form of like trying to entertain an audience. And so I think there's a certain type of person, maybe because people I follow, whatever the case is, I've just got, that's always been my understanding of Hitman. And thus I looked at that and went just like, cool, like, that's, I just got that. I guess it's just not my game. Like, if this is just like a giant bunch of NPCs going in random directions and you just kind of figure out like, what kind of mission do you want to do today? I was like, no, like, give me the mission. So I was just pleasantly surprised that there was more there for me than maybe I expected. And what's like especially exciting is like, if I go through Hitman 3 and like it quite a bit, like, and end up like falling, technically feeling similar to you, but not knowing it because I don't know what Hitman 1 and 2 are like, it's exciting that I'll be able to buy Hitman 1 and 2 and then just play them in the Hitman 3 engine and experience all of those stages.
Yeah. I'm 100% in the same boat. I mean, the joy that I get out of Hitman and the parts that I really like about it are things like routing and things like looking at the challenges like you were talking about and saying, like, how would I do that? Like, how would I, you know, set up a scenario? In Hitman 3, weirdly enough, I think the challenges sometimes are a little bit more simple than they have been in previous Hitman 1 and 2, which is just to say, you're going to, if you kind of want to find some self-constraint, right, and figure out that kind of stuff within the big sandbox, I think you're going to find a lot for it. But yeah, like last night I played that the tutorial level enough that I got it down to like 2 minutes and 18 seconds or something. Like, I was like blazing through it in this escalation because I had to do it so many times. But I actually just finished playing Dark Souls 3 again like the other day. And it was really weird from going from one to the other because it's like, oh yeah, this is like the exact same disciplinary horse shit like in both of these games. We're like, I'm just gonna have to turn myself into a robot for a little while and like figure out how all this goes together. But I mean, I really think there's a, you know, almost Tetris like joy and pattern reading for me in Hitman as well.
Sure.
Like, once you play Dubai 10 times, right, you're gonna be like, okay, so in the first, you know, 2 minutes, if I run to this position, I'll be able to do XYZ. So, for example, in that the tutorial level on the boat, like you were talking about, if you do the escalation where you need to kill the second target, if you do the whole level and kill the first target fast enough, that guy never moves from his initial position. So you can run the whole level in a circle and come back to the opening and then kill that target. And then the game
ends. Yeah, the idea of like figuring out like the script triggers was like a lot of what I was doing in the tutorial.
Yeah.
It was like, the guy who's wearing the fancy suit, like the white suit, I was like, when does he move? Like, when does he move from this car? So it was a lot of me just like, okay, I'm just going to sit here for a couple of minutes. Like, no, like it's not timing based. It's like, oh, okay, I need to go behind the bar, trigger that like conversation with the woman. And like, oh, and then I look over, now he's moving. And like, that's being able to do that on a small scale and then getting excited about what that means on a larger scale, like was really enjoyable.
100%. And I mean, this is where I guess my criticism of Hitman 3 comes in, is like, I don't give a shit about Lucas Gray in any of this, right? Like, I don't care about these like big major plot characters while I'm doing this kind of stuff, right? I don't want to use my camera to hack things and like add the barest level of interaction to these levels, right? Like, I think a lot of the innovation of Hitman 3 compared to Hitman 1 and 2 is innovation for the sake of having to add something to, you know, to the formula. And I understand, like, I have an infinite amount of empathy with the fact that that's demanded by the marketplace, right? Like,
what do you put in the trailer? Like, yeah, what goes on the features? What are we talking about in our E3 demo? Like, well, we've added shortcuts, which actually the shortcuts seem like they might be kind of
cool. They're great.
You're unlocking, you know, like you use a crowbar to break open a ladder that when you go through the level again, like that ladder is just opened for you. But it's just like their own escalation of being a sequel. Mm-hmm. And especially like this being, you know, like now that they're like they're not like, you know, indie, but they are an independent company as opposed to being wholly owned by, was it Warner Brothers before?
Square Enix.
Yeah. And yeah, like that's just the nature of the market, but it leads them to some weird places that is suggested by you, like pretty epitomized by Hitman 3 in particular.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like I can see, you know, like how all of this happened, right? But that doesn't mean I like it, and I don't like it. But yeah, I actually think the shortcuts that you were talking about, that is the big innovation for me. That really does it. Finally, it rewards you for being like, okay, there are things I might want to change in this kind of space, and they seem to have thought pretty. I don't know. Intensely about where those things will happen. So, for example, in the that manor level, one of the ladders you can knock down is critical. It like changes the whole flow of the level, and it's awesome. Like it really. Once I did it, I was like, "Oh, I can do this escalation now. This is like possible to put together."
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So,
is it an express route to the third floor?
To the second floor. To the second floor balcony of one of the kids' rooms.
Yeah.
But yeah,
So when I fired this thing up, first of all, I was convinced that I only had Hitman because I was like, somehow the install is smaller than Hitman 3, but all three games are in there. Hitman 2, but all three games are in there, which is
wild. There's a really good PC Gamer piece from a week or two ago where they explain, a lot of it went over my head, but it was like there's a technical explanation for like how they're doing the opposite of a Warzone. Which is like instead of eating up your entire hard drive over time, like a leech, they actually managed to like make the game smaller over time.
Because Hitman 2 was incredible. Kind of a leech, and yes. I remember like when I had that plus the Hitman 1 content, I was like, "Ooh, that is a big commitment to the world of assassination," and it's one I'm not sure I'm capable of making right now. And then Hitman 3 comes out, it's much more bite sized. But there's actually a lot of things I love about this package, though. If you buy, like, set me up with a trilogy. I'm going to drink deeply of, I'm going to drink deeply of the blood.
The chalice of assassination.
Yeah.
Straight into Rob's mouth.
I love that you can just, you go into the campaigns menu, and they're all there on tabs, and you can just skip around the story. Mm-hmm. Like, the game will be like, hey, this is out of sequence. You didn't do the previous thing. Do you care? And you can be like, I don't. So let's move. And that's actually really cool. Like, it's a game that really makes it feel, I'm someone who's very quick to feel guilty about not having seen the antecedents to the part of the plot that I'm in. And I kind of appreciate that Hitman 3, the whole structure of this is like, hey, this is all here. You can go fuck with it. You can just watch the cutscenes if you want to get caught up, or you can play the mission. But it's very agnostic about like how you experience this thing. But
well, it also gives you a permission structure to not care, right? Like, I think that part's important. It's like the game is it'd be one thing if they just gave you the options, but for them to like kind of be like nudging in the direction of like, it's cool if you don't give a shit, like just go have fun. Like, I think allows you to sort of. That's one of the I didn't watch like a lore video for like the Hitman. Like, I thought about it. People linked me to some and I was like, do I really want to spend 40 minutes? Like, do I need not? Do I want? Like, I'll do it. I'll put it on the background while a basketball game's on. Like, or do I not? And the game's like, just don't do it. And I'm like, cool. Like, I won't do it. Like,
you're watching lore videos while you're watching basketball?
Well, I don't really give a shit about this man Celtics, but it's Cam. Nice to have it in the background. Like, I'm watching the young, frisky Bulls who are looking actually pretty good, and I'm just going to put the Bears aside and be a Bulls fan now for a little bit. Shit.
Oh, those Bulls, they're looking frisky. Okay. Rob. Okay, Rob. Patrick.
Okay.
Have you seen a Nets game yet? You should probably check out the new Nets. Just to see what's up.
I felt like there was no obligation to do that. It's like, cool, like, if I somehow end up caring, I could fill in the blanks later, and maybe that'll be interesting. But it almost seems like it might be useful for them to say, this is the final one. So when we make a next one, can we just throw all this shit out and just like make an assassination game like from scratch without any of this table setting? And I hope that's maybe something they end up doing down the line. It's just tossing all this entirely.
I mean, I think they're doing the exact opposite and making a James Bond game.
Well, okay.
Something that is weighed down by, 60 years of what
that's
we might
fair.
Call absolute horseshit.
way to undercut my point immediately with facts and observation. Thank you.
There's two good movies in there.
Yeah. Well, it's been really weird, too. I've absolutely unrelated to Hitman, just been watching the Daniel Craig Bond movies recently. Just on a whim, there are a couple of them are on Netflix, and it really is striking to me. I mean, I wrote about this at the end of the review, but it is very striking to me how the kind of narrative thrust into the levels itself really begins making it feel like the James Bond aesthetic. And in it, maybe that I feel like it is a pretty distinct line being drawn between that kind of presentation in Hitman 3 versus Hitman 1 and 2. But maybe other people don't feel that way, and I've seen other people not feeling that way. So I think that's kind of a your mileage may vary kind of opinion, but it really feels distinct.
I feel like the boundary's always been porous between Hitman tone and Bond tone to an extent, or at least with this trilogy. The minute it all became about, like, go to these, like, glamorous locations and kill rich douchebags right and left, but it's all, like, very Bond-type settings, and... You know, you're always the guy who can seamlessly blend in with the, the elite, or you can absolutely, like, strike from the shadows. But, like, you can have those Bond experiences in this new version of the series. I'm not sure that was as true in the previous ones. But, yeah, it does. Like, it's a very short walk to Bond.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say, I feel like the biggest difference is obviously Agent 47 just being completely charismatic-less in with that being why he can blend in. It's just like this kind of like gray box that people like project whatever they need to onto him, where Bond, like, obviously the whole thing being that character is suave and, like, you know, can talk his way, like, Agent 47 can talk his way through things because he is able to just be like the blandest fucker that nobody's gonna suspect, where Bond as a character is more like, oh, I'm gonna be charismatic and, like, kind of cheeky about this interaction and get through it that way, right?
He's not gonna be able to get away with putting on the chef outfit and, like, convincing people he's the sushi right fair. Like,
so yeah, I did just want Cam, have you checked out on Her Majesty's Secret Service,
the James Bond film?
Yeah.
Not in 15 years, probably.
Yeah, it's maybe one of the only old ones that I think is worth checking out. But that one does have sort of a Hitman-ish vibe where, like, there's a lengthy sequence in which he's going undercover as a... I forget what the term for this is, but somebody who's really an expert on English heraldry and noble families. And
how do you, like, not know this word? Yeah. Of all the people who would know this word.
Rob just tossing it out to the panel. If any of you fuckers would know this really obscure term, maybe?
Yeah.
For heraldry? Anyone else into heraldry?
So there's
anyone else
there is a
watching
very
on Her Majesty's Secret Service? Anybody?
So there is a very lengthy sequence in which he is aggressively just boring the shit out of the people at the supervillain's lair as he just begins explaining, like, and of course, then the family tree is these two branches reunited. The rampant stag in the quarter became a half griffin, half stag, because, and just like, and everyone is losing their mind with boredom, except the models who are there, who are rapt with attention because he's the only man. It's a very weird movie, but it's good. I will say that it's a really interesting one, and Amazon has a really nice transfer of it up, so highly recommended. Because it also has kind of a weird, like, Hitman-ish vibe, or also it is one of those things I look at and I'm like, oh, No One Lives Forever definitely pulled a little bit from this weird bullshit Bond that is way more fun than a lot of the Connerys. So that's my endorsement. There's other stuff I want to get to, but first we should take a little break. Who knows what you'll hear, but it'll be an ad.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, there was a thing I wanted to go back to, though, about the weird way I've ended up sort of playing Hitman 3, but also all the Hitmans all at once.
Okay, yeah, I was trying to figure out what you actually ended up, like, what your Rob Zachney plot logic is on how you're approaching playing the game. It's just like, this environment looks cool, like, I'll just have a taste of assassination and then go to another.
Just little hors d'oeuvres.
just a little treat of...
little murderous communion wafers as I worship the world of assassination. So what ended up happening is the game literally drops you into the Dubai level. I got like 30 seconds into that and I'm like, I don't remember how my guy works. So I had to go back and do the tutorial. I forgot how much I liked the tutorial. They're good little missions. Mm-hmm. Also, it's very funny that they are like training area kill houses where everything's plywood and cheap. Yeah. And so it looks like Hitman level, but everything when you zoom in on it, it's like, oh, this is just plywood or pewter that's been painted. Like everything looks like shit.
Even your handler at one point when I was doing like the final task or whatever, like with like in the hangar. Like before you choke someone out, she says like, well, like be careful. Also, like they're an actor. And I'm like, that's a really good line.
So I did that. And then I went back to, I was like, I should have played Hitman 1. So I'm going to get into that. And I ended up playing the first level, which is the fashion show level. Mm-hmm. And immediately I remembered why I stopped playing Hitman, which is that I am somebody who is very prone to analysis paralysis, where if you give me the worst thing you can give me is like several fairly equivalent options without a clear way to like prioritize or choose between them.
Hell yeah.
And yeah. And Hitman 1, the opening level is like, so you got to kill these two fuckers. And there's clearly a million ways to go about it. The level is huge. Windows of opportunity are opening and closing at different times. You immediately get a sense like, oh, there's ways to infiltrate. You can like infiltrate a camera crew and do it via a journalist. There is a very big time model walking the runway at this fashion show who is this weird like Prince Zizar looking gray alien like bald dude that everyone's like, huh, your character kind of looks like this guy. And so you can go walk the runways as Agent 47. There's a ton of other ways to go about it. And immediately I remembered like, oh, this is just a nightmare to choose between. I can't like,
see,
I
that gives me
this.
Anxiety. Like that you are speaking directly to how I read these games. Like, yeah. You know what I would like is like, give me the mission that's like become the model. Like, cool, I can do that. Like I will figure out this puzzle and then give me the endorphin reward of like, make the points go up. I don't know if these points feed into, really not clear what the progression is here, but like, I just want those points and I'll solve this particular puzzle.
So I was wandering the fashion show a ton yesterday, and I found one of the like story ways to kill one of the characters, but the other character I just had to whack in a really crude Hitman, you know, the old put the emetic poison in a drink and just wait for them to throw up in the bathroom and drown them in the toilet. That old chestnut. that's how I got the second target. But while I'm up there, I'm also realizing, oh, there's so many interesting things I clearly didn't figure out. Like, I could have dropped this lighting grid on characters, or there's a part of that level where there appears to be some kind of Phantom of the Opera type space that you can inhabit. And I'm not sure what that costume does, but it was funny. But it was overwhelming. And then you go to Sapienza, And I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay. So fashion show was like your training wheels and here's Sapienza. And I'm like, I don't know. I like, what are you asking me to do? You want me to figure all this out? You want to see how all this works? And then I go to Hitman 3.
In Sapienza, there is the capability of firing a cannon at a man playing golf.
What?
Yeah.
It's what? Great.
It's great.
I've spent a lot of time in that level.
So,
shit.
So then it occurs to me that I probably don't have time to play Hitman 1 and 2 and start on 3 before we do the podcast. I do the math.
Okay, I'm glad you drew that conclusion, Rob.
I do the math. Like, you know, it's like 8:30 p.m. My completion time on the fashion show was about 90 minutes. If you factor in all the wandering around, I'm probably not going to be able to speedrun this and get ready for the podcast. So I'm just going to have to play some Hitman 3. So I go to the Dubai level, and I would say in some ways it's similar in that I think the level layout is a bit complicated. There's a lot of, like, because it's a tower, it's a very dense environment where you will, like, round back to where you started, but through a very circuitous and dense pathway. And then there's, like, three stories to the tower. And there's different tiers of, like, guard permission and alertness and security, etc. So in some ways, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is familiar. Like the museum that the fashion show takes place at is also a fairly big space. But one of the things that I felt about with Dubai was that it was in some ways much easier to handle conceptually. Whereas the fashion show is like, here's a million ways to go about this. What do you want to do? All possibilities are yours in the world of assassination. Here, the story missions really do breadcrumb you through the entire level and let you see a ton of stuff. So, like, the first thing you can do is infiltrate the bodyguard staff and become one of your target's personal bodyguards. And you have the option of doing the really quick and dirty assassination where after you impress him with your skills, you just push him off the tower. But I was like, I want to see how much stuff there is to do with this dude. And so you can go and see a conversation that he has with his daughter as he explains why he's had to fake his own death. But that takes you through the whole level. Like, you see or at least the floor of the level. You kind of see everything. And in a weird way, at the end of that, I was like, I'm not sure this is as dynamic an environment as the fashion show felt. Like, for instance, there was a point where I became really obsessed with just electrocuting this guy. There's a cool art installation in the level, and I was like, I'm gonna electrocute this guy using the art installation. It seems cool, and that seems like a fun way to do this. And it took me a while to figure out that I just needed to rip some fuses and move some stuff around, but I did it. But while I'm figuring that out, he just keeps walking his loop. The window never closes, which is fine. I can see that being frustrating. But also, the guy walks a loop that is justified the first time you go around because, like, there's plot beats he has to hit. And then he just starts repeating them. He's like, oh, I need to talk to my daughter. And I'm like, you talked? But sir, you already talked to your daughter 30 minutes ago. And he's like, yeah, right. I better check on the installation again and check on that light. Oh, I should talk to my daughter again. And he loops back and just kind of patiently walks this very simple loop that you can time out and figure out how to assassinate him. And then when that was done, there was another character I could impersonate that would also get me close to the second target. But at the end of that, I was like, in some ways, they've made this all very navigable with these story missions, like much more so than like the fashion show opens. The fashion show, it's like you get a piece of the puzzle, like a part of the map is revealed, but then you got to go do other stuff if you're really going to figure out how this whole level works. Hitman 3 very much feels like, in some ways they are addressing, maybe people like you and me, Patrick, where it's like they are addressing people who did get that bit of fear of missing out, or that bit of just bewilderment at all the options that were open. But at the same time, it also meant that by the end of that first level, I was like, oh, you're not doing the same thing that the fashion show was. Like, in terms of the comparison of the first two levels of these two games, one of them feels like a much more complicated clockwork, and the other is simpler and kind of easier to suss out. And in some ways, that is convenient, but also I left that level not feeling like, oh man, there's incredible possibilities there. Whereas I finished the fashion show and I was like, I have five things I want to try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that what you're tracking is the same vibe through most of the levels in Hitman 3. The ones that I think are best are the ones that feel like the fashion show, at least in scale and scope and complexity. And I think using the word complexity is appropriate, because I think that is part of the thrill that I find in it, right? Is that how do you chart a route through complexity that touches, you know, things that you're interested in touching on? But like the Berlin level is amazing. And it's because the way that it is set up is there are five agents, five targets for you to attack, minimum five. I guess there might be more, and you don't know where they are. You can't see them. And so you have to navigate all around this level to find them first. And then you have to eliminate them, which is really cool. And the Chongqing going back to Hitman 1, level is also cool because it is really big, like very, very, very big. But even it in being really big is not as complex as some of the larger levels in Hitman 2, unfortunately. I mean, I think you're right. I think that there is a constrainedness to a lot of Hitman 3 that, I don't know, there's just not, I don't know, it's not what I'm in there. I'm not what I'm in it for. Not what I expected either. In a general sense, and it all kind of lands in the final one, the Carpathian Mountains, that I don't want to spoil for people, but I will say is perhaps, oh, it's really disappointing. It's extremely disappointing. It's a rough time for people.
You know what's funny though? I feel like the Berlin level is the one I've seen people complaining about.
Really?
Yeah, just not a ton of people, but I've seen a few mm-hmm. people who've hit it be like, I don't know what to do. This is really hard to parse.
Yeah.
And so I do kind of wonder in some ways.
I think a lot of people are trying Hitman 3 for the first. Like, I think Hitman 3 is like hitting at a certain, there's not a lot else to play.
Mm-hmm. It's for the people.
On like a games of this scale. And you're getting, you know, folks like, if Rob and I are indicative of like larger movements, and there's a lot of people going, there were a lot of good sales on Hitman. People fucking love these games. Like, why don't I want to be part of the club? And so I think it may be the case that some of what you're seeing, Rob, is like people like running into the fashion show, like in this Berlin level and being like, oh, shit. Okay. Like these levels can be of a scale and a complexity and a dynamism that if you like, let's say just do the story beats, like the story missions and then move on. You cannot necessarily get that clockwork sense in the way mm-hmm. that it sounds like the Berlin level like introduces. So I wonder if there's a little bit of that, of just like you're getting people bouncing, you know, rubbing up against like a lot of what a lot of people fell for in Hitman 1 and 2 specifically, and then when introduced it in 3 are slightly overwhelmed in the process.
Yeah, I think that's right. But they should simply have spent the past 16 years polishing their Hitman skills like I have. I mean, I don't understand.
I played Blood Money. Like when I was at Giant Bomb, like I would try and take time to like, there'd be the audience and be like, oh, this, you guys would really like it if you played this. And I would just like take it on like me to try those games every once in a while. And I played mm-hmm. Blood Money. Couldn't tell you anything about it. Don't remember. Not because mm-hmm. it wasn't good. I just, that was, you know, 10 years ago at this point. But I would be curious. I'm just, it's long enough ago that I can't tell like how similar these games. I mean, I understand the premise is similar, but like these games are just going on for so long. Like, you know, someone pointed out the same voice actor has been, you know, voicing Agent 47 for 20 fucking years. Like, mm-hmm. which is, it's a weird series. It's a very strange series to have gone for this long, never been that popular. Like it's been popular, like cult popular. And then with this trilogy, starting episodic, then abandoning that and being like, well, that was a mistake. And then in the, it's just a really, it's just straight. Like, the more you think about everything about Hitman, the more that it's just like such a unique sort of thing in video games. That I honestly, the episodic stuff kind of fell apart in video games, like in as a whole. But man, it seems like that was like the model for like, if Hitman just had, like, could have kept that going somehow. It seems like it would have been cooler if, like, missions were coming out month to month and it was like watching a TV episode with your friends as you unpacked it.
Well, the whole thing was designed for, the elusive target thing to be mm-hmm. this level. One of the reasons you need these levels to be really ornate is because they still have to remain interesting 2 months later when it's like, we've set another mouse loose in this maze. Go get it.
Sean Bean is back.
Yeah. I do think, I agree, like, commercially, maybe the episodic thing didn't work out, but I do think in the life of the series, having that thing be shared around social media so extensively across that first game's life cycle and then heading into two, in a weird way, the episodic thing may not have worked out in terms of the business model, but as a piece of marketing for the entire trilogy, I think one of the reasons that Hitman 3 seems like this game that's poised to be like, hey, you guys really like our little murder Muppet. I think that's ground that's been laid just because, unlike previous Hitman games where everyone was sort of siloed off and playing them, and you could read facts about how a level worked, but like you probably weren't seeing people be like, hey, look at this guy I just killed with a banana. Like, that wasn't something your friend was randomly sharing. And now a lot of the game feels like it is there to really call attention to the strangeness of Hitman and the goofiness of Agent 47 inhabiting these different roles to commit various, like, murders and mayhem.
Yeah, there's something. I mean, I really have been playing these games since, you know, Hitman 2, Silent Assassin. I've been playing them regularly since then. But I didn't even purchase Hitman 1's episodic stuff until the whole thing was out. Right, like, that mm-hmm. knocked me out of the franchise. And so I think that there's something, a weird balance to hit with between appointment playing, or whatever that would be, right? Where we're all like, Sapiens is coming out, yay! And then, you know, just having a whole game there that's, you know, kind of ready and available to play. I'm really curious about how elusive targets are going to work in these Hitman 3 levels, because I just don't know what that's going to look like in the manor, right? Other than adding, are they going to add 30 more NPCs to make this interesting? Like, I don't know. It's pretty sparse. I mean, it's a cool level, but it's not as if there's, you know, 200 people there you're having to navigate your way through and avoid. It's pretty fast to get through.
And most of the characters are rooted in place so that you can play this Clue game. Mm-hmm.
Gosh. That Clue game is...
Patrick, have you played the mystery level?
No, I'm like...
I'm so curious.
I'll be curious about how I respond. I mean,
with your love of story, it might be right up your alley. You know, you can probably have a couple basketball games on, or
I'll just put the Celtics on, and then I'll my love of Bill Simmons and Boston sports culture.
Mm-hmm. Pull up 13 Sentinels on your phone at the same time. There you go.
I want to have like 3-4 different things happening while I'm playing this. Mm-hmm. I have the dialogue going automatically in 13 Sentinels. I have a spoon holding on the X button to just keep moving that forward while I play Hitman. Mm-hmm. No, because I'm trying to treat the first level like I treated the tutorial, which is like just to keep pressing on like the objective based stuff. Because I haven't even done the escalation. I didn't even know the escalations were a thing. So I haven't gotten quite there yet. Like, I want to exhaust Dubai so that I come out of it going like, oh, okay, like I know how I want to play Hitman, and then hopefully take that forward to the other levels. Oh, that sounds like if that's the second level, it's like, well, no, you're not gonna take any of that forward because it's like a completely different design structure that, you know, asks you to do something wholly unique, which in itself is cool. Like, I guess I can see how they stumbled on that, which is like, hey, let's just throw people for a loop and do something that's not just a massive crowd and a unique, like, like a racetrack or something like that. It's like put them in a smaller mansion. But I also I also see why, Cam, why you fall on, like, no, like, give me the weird thematic trapping with a giant open space and a bazillion options.
Well, I, like, so the weird thing is, I've had this arc with the Dartmoor level, because in part, I think it's gotten a lot of attention, but also maybe it is a bit emblematic of some of the new things that are happening in Hitman 3. And I had this arc where, first, I was like, I don't know what Cam's talking about. Elitist Cam over there being like, I'm too good for Hitman's cute little mystery story. Don't invite Cam to your murder mystery dinner party. Because
please do not.
He'll just ruin it. He'll be like, I think this is pretty pedestrian by genre standards. And honestly, none of us are capable of delivering the performances required by the form. So,
Why would you half-ass it, Rob? Don't do it.
I want some commitment, damn it. So at first I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, there's a little gallery of English aristocratic shitheads that we have to figure out which one, who done it. But I did turn on it fast because, one, if you're playing as the detective, you have permission to go just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I kind of like the friction of being like, what are people going to let me do? And pretty much here, nobody cares. And two, one of the things that started to really grate on me is that, so one of the things you do is you confirm alibis. You just like, hey, is there evidence to suggest that what this person like says they did is what they did? And one of the things that I think makes a mystery work is that there's kind of layers of deception, like sort of you unravel each person's story. Like, that's how a lot of these mysteries work, where there's actually multiple mysteries, and that's why there are inconsistencies. This mystery does not work that way. And so there's not a lot to, like, if a guy tells you, oh, I was, sleeping with one of the maids, that's the end of the story. Like, well, there's no way. Obviously, he was having sex with a maid while the person was being killed by poison. And there's no way that he could have faked this or timed it differently. Just asked and answered. Two characters are like, oh, we were down at the pub. Well, both these characters say they were at the pub. So obviously, they couldn't both be lying. And I'm like, you ever read Murder on the Orient Express? But I get why the mystery has to work this way, because it all has to unfold in this place, and there is no dialogue mechanic for Hitman, really. You just press a button, they're like items, and the characters just dispense the next question that Agent 47 is supposed to ask. But there's a lot of parts where you're like, but I would kind of like to see an interrogation of some sort happen. And like, there's so much you can eavesdrop on in this mansion. And I kept waiting for it to be like, I'm sure that like hearing all this gossip will arm me with good information about these characters and maybe like catch them in a lie. Those things don't really hook up. Like the things you overhear largely stay confined to just flavor for the level, but they aren't critical to unlocking the next dialogue option. And so, like, after about 30 minutes of this thing, where eventually I was just like, I just need to get into these fuckers' bedrooms. How do I get in their bedroom? And okay, it says there's two clues left in this bedroom. Where are these fucking clues? I cannot see them. I was like, I kind of get it. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, look, they have a nice little King Ralph family electrocution thing set up out in the garden. I might just do that instead and just like wash my hands of the mystery and be like, okay, family portrait time under the arc lights. Let's go.
Yeah, you were describing the exact process I went through with this, which was like, oh, this is really cool. And then immediately thinking, oh, the affordances of this video game are not sufficient to support what they are trying to do here. And
my question is, that is what they're trying to do, though, right? Because the character of Agent 47 doesn't actually care about what this mystery is. And so to me, as I was playing, I haven't finished this level, but I've gotten through the mystery segment of it. And then I had to stop because it was late last night. But the... what I ended up doing during the like clue finding spots is actually just casing the joint, right? Like understanding what the layout of that place actually is. Like it's bigger than you than it looks like from the outside to me a lot of times. And to me, that was like that's the primary objective that Agent 47 is going after. It's like trying to understand all the options here because there's lots of like there's like hidden hallways and shit. That would be useful for when you actually have to have the opportunity to do the actual hit. So like that's kind of what I took that as, and part of why I wasn't maybe I didn't chafe as much against the like, oh, this dialogue is very bare, like because it's not important to your ultimate objective, right? It's like get through this so that you can get as much intel on the space, be pretending to be this character, but really the point is get intel on this space. And I definitely understand the frustration there of like, oh, this could have been really like extra, like really neat, but also like part of me is like, but that's not what Agent 47 is here for. he's not actually here to figure this out. You can very easily, slight spoiler, I guess, for this thread, you can blame someone who like you can find a piece of information and blame someone like right away and just be like, oh, I'm done with this. Like you don't actually have to question everyone. So like I don't know, that part kind of read better to me, and like but I also think I chafed a lot, kind of like what Rob was saying earlier. I chafed a lot early on with Hitman in like those bigger levels where I felt like there was the picking up the story missions was a little more difficult. So far, these first two levels that I've played in Hitman 3 kind of hand you the first opening story missions like on a silver platter, which I think is, to me, like more welcoming, because then I feel like, oh, even though I'm on this path, I'm on this specific story mission path, I can see the interactions, like what the one thing that Rob mentioned in Dubai, the electrocution. Like I saw, oh, I see the pieces to make that happen, but I'm not on that path right now. So I'll come back and do that some other time and figure that out later. But it feels like these, what at least in this first two missions, what these primary story missions are doing is this is the lay of the, this is the tutorial for this level, right? Before you get into the real meat, which is going to be the challenges and the escalation and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I agree with that. The marquee story missions now, I don't know if that's been the case through all three of the games, but certainly now.
No, right. That's definitely part of the thing where I feel like I bounced off one because I could, like, in one, a lot of the story missions felt difficult to find the pickup threads for, and then also didn't always carry you completely through a level the way the newer ones do, where it's like you pick up the thread on one, the first one in Dubai, and like that is going to carry you all the way to mission complete for the first time, right?
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. Like, I think that that's 100% the intent of these kind of big story missions, or the key ones, or you know, whatever we call them, the kind of one that's in your face every time.
Yeah,
is to give you, to make you explore that, or give you the opportunity to explore the mansion. I think that what I kind of ran into is the amount of minutia that this one demands from you, and the amount of minutia that most of them in Hitman 3 demand from you. And it's really apparent to me when you go and look at, because I replayed the final test last night, which is the last mission of the tutorial, and it actually does have a story mission that it takes you all the way from the beginning to the assassination without any gap at the end. But it has a lot of room for kind of variability in the middle. There's some navigation, it doesn't hold every step from you,
right?
And this murder mystery, having to spend literally 30 minutes like trying to figure out if I need to pick up every item in the room in order to fulfill the clue, quota or criteria.
Right.
That I was just like, blah. But I think you're right. Like, ultimately, it is probably a net good, like game design wise. And certainly they didn't come to this, just because they thought this was a good idea to have you do an incredibly detailed, minute murder.
They do not know how to make a good Hitman level.
Yeah, yeah, like, they obviously do, right? But but for me, it was, I guess part of it too is it's like, if you are going to hang your marketing of this game partially on this level, You know, and as Patrick said earlier, right, you said, the Knives Out mystery. That's how it was sold and kind of positioned. That's kind of what it is, I guess, but not really. It doesn't have any mystery to it.
Yeah.
It's just about picking stuff up. So I do like that. At the end of it, it kind of solves, because what you have to do in this mission is you have to complete an assassination and pick up an item. And normally, if you're playing that level without the story mission, those are kind of two separate tasks. That story mission brings those tasks together in a really interesting way, or allows you to. And I thought that part of it was very cool, but I had to sit through 40 minutes of doing something I did not want to do beforehand to get to the cool part. Which is not my idea of a good time. I say that being someone who reads Stephen King novels and talks about them.
You don't have to. No apology needed on this podcast for reading trashy Stephen King. That is celebrated. We stand a flawed writer here on Waypoint Radio.
Mm-hmm. So on balance. I'm not sure I'm gonna come down. Like parts of it I like enough that I'm probably not overly bothered by some of the compromises they made. But like right now I'm like, I really liked one level of Hitman 3, and I'm a little iffier on the other, and if that pattern continues, I think I will be kind of net a little iffy on Hitman 3. On the other hand, I'm sitting here and I'm like, in the context I'm playing it in, it isn't, well, there's a high proportion of these slightly gimmicky levels that's going to drag me down. Because I successfully discouraged myself from playing a lot of Hitman before, and now it's kind of clicking, now I'm like, well, I've got, these entire two previous games worth of good Hitman to get at, and it's a really convenient package. So I'm probably going to like wrap Dartmoor and then really get Sapienza right. I think that's going to be my next project. And you just hear my journey on Waypoint Radio, where I'm like, hey guys, you heard about Sapienza? You heard about how goofy this is? There's some wild stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. You can be a priest.
Yeah.
You can poison a joint and give it to a hippie. An Italian hippie.
Yeah, so I think by and large, like as a trilogy, it's really impressive, right? As a series of games, it feels really good, and I think this can't be overstated. I think a lot of the early Hitman games, the jank was so front and center, the simulation was so rickety in places, and here it. This trilogy really does feel convincing in a way those early Hitman games never did. And so I hope that at the end of Hitman 3, like, I will have bought into that plot a little bit. Because going back, they do center it up front. Like, the opening narration of Hitman 1 is Gray, basically arguing that all the stuff you've been doing has been changing the world, and you just haven't cared enough. You haven't been paying attention, but you need to. So even back in Hitman 1, the framework was, hey, don't lose track of the context for what you're doing in. For what you're doing and the framework you're doing it in. And I feel like a little bit Hitman 3 is like, okay, time to finally address that. And there's a little bit of, oh, you mean that. We need to address that. Do we, though?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good not addressing that.
Yeah. Patrick, where do you think you're going to leave your Hitman journey?
I'm going to keep with it, if only because I want to have, like, I think Hitman 3, and the fact that I've since learned that, like, if you just stick to the story stuff, like, you can, kind of finish it in 8-10 hours. Like, that's, like, an easy enough lift that if I play through this, I could come out of it like, oh, this is at least what I think of Hitman, which is like, it's nice to like checkbox like a franchise. And even if I don't go back and play 1 and 2, it'll be nice to like, oh, okay, I've fully formed my thoughts on like why people like this, like how that fits within like my own preferences. And like, it's long been a franchise that I'd wished I could at least speak to myself on like how I feel on it. Also, it'll be fun. Like, whenever we get together in like can do stuff in person again, like, yeah, like we're going to probably end up playing Hitman and like setting up like one thing this series is missing is player created challenges, which I'm like sort of surprised like isn't like here to like I was like it was so it seemed so obvious seeing like the different challenges they set up. They're like, oh, it's there must be some way for players to like, hey, like in order to complete, you know, Rob's challenge, like you need to beat the shit out of this character like in a penguin suit.
It does. It has those.
Oh, it does have
yeah,
that players
can the,
do that?
That's okay. The contract system. But the ones for Hitman 3, when I was looking last night, you couldn't access any of them. So I don't know if that's server issues or something like that, but I couldn't play any yet. But that is the contract system.
All right, good. I was like, okay, good. That makes sense. Because like sometimes things seem really obvious. And there's good reasons for not to be there, and that just seems like something fun to mess around with. So I don't. Yeah, do I think I'm gonna fall for? I think I'm end up gonna being like in the middle on it, which is like I'll appreciate it, but also understand maybe I don't have the personality to fully embrace Hitman for what it is. But yeah, I'll probably stick with it.
Kata, where are you?
I think kind of in a similar place to you where like I had touched those other two games. Like I played like the first couple of levels of each one and then fell off for one reason or another. Usually distraction. I rarely finish games, honestly. But I feel like right now in this moment, like being able to revisit them in three is also like a big like, oh, that's easy. I'll just go back. I like stuck to the first couple levels of three just kind of for this podcast, but I think I'm definitely gonna go back because I finished Sapienza yesterday, kind of in preparation or the day before in preparation for it to come out, and I was like, okay, this is clicking more than it has in the past. I wonder what's changed. I don't know. Maybe I can pay more attention to things these days. Or maybe,
and there's
who knows?
Nowhere to go.
Yeah, right.
like, ooh, Hitman lets me go outside and right. mingle in crowds.
Oh, shit, this
and
is,
explore world.
I played the Miami level of two, and I was like, oh, shit. Because I lived in South Florida, an hour north of Miami, and my cousins lived in Miami. And I like went down and was like, oh, wow, shit, those buildings. I know this water line. Like, fuck. Being outside in a place I recognize, wild. But yeah, I think I'm going to go back and play through. Because for some reason, despite it being a lot of proper nouns, I do feel compelled to understand what's happening going forward. So
stop
I'm just going to go back
stop
to one.
It. Oh my God.
Look, why is it? Who? The constant? That's a good name. Mm-hmm. Who? Mm-hmm. Why? I need to know if there's even hints. You know, even if there isn't hints, I just want to make sure to see it through.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go back.
Figure out which Herald will become the new constant. Oh, wow. Doesn't that sound thrilling to learn which proper noun will become the other proper noun?
I come from the world of Destiny where there's a lot of proper nouns becoming other proper nouns. So.
you're not making your case, Kato. You're sort of just
I'm
like,
just saying this is where I'm coming
yourself.
From. Yeah, I'm telling on myself. I like this shit. I'm sorry. And I know ultimately it's not going to matter, but I do think it seems I'm curious because of the way it's set up and the way you end up it like feels like it's trying to say something about you know how power is gained and held in the world, mm-hmm. even if it goes to the kind of supervillain extremes at the end, but like I'm still curious to see what they like pick at in the earlier games.
Yeah, I agree with all that, and despite not liking the way that Hitman 3 does all of this kind of story stuff, I like the story of these Hitman games in general sense. I think they're cool, but I think in kind of what you just said there, kind of going to supervillain extremes at the end, you know, Hitman 3's plot is basically about, you know, the end boss of Hitman 2 and like taking out, you know, the final thing of it, right? The kind of last legs of this organization. And to me, Hitman, and I've written about this for Waypoint, right? The Hitman is so, this trilogy is so much more powerful when it is representing those things in the game level mechanically through like the moment to moment of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, the one of the final levels of Hitman 2 is, I think, just perfect. The kind of the island, the climate change catastrophe conference that's there. I think it's so good. But that's all done through context within that broad plot. It's done within conversations that you're hearing, within character interactions. it's not done with, you know, Lucas Gray and Diana Burnwood in right. their wild and wacky globe-charting adventures with Agent 47.
Which is part of why I feel like I can't just go watch a lore video. I want to go in mm-hmm. and get that context from the levels themselves, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah, I think that that's the way to do it for sure. And I think that the first two games are stronger because of that. But well, I'm curious to, when you finish them all, I'm curious to hear what you think.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, our experiences will probably be different because we do not have to finish them post-haste for a review, which is also always a complicating factor where my hitman is like, let me peruse my options. And I was like, Kim, can you get this done by Tuesday? Like, I can give you to Wednesday if you really need, but like Tuesday would help me out a lot. Like, you can help brother out, right, Kim? Like, Tuesday, and then Barco lifts. So that
would be
probably
playing
also
5 hours of Hitman a day for the next yeah
just exactly. the way it was meant to be all right, so that will do it for our Hitman extravaganza. Who knows when next we will visit the world of assassination, but we are heading into the world of the weekend. You can keep up with Waypoint by reading us at waypoint.vice.com. You can follow us on social media, on Twitter at Waypoint, on Facebook, YouTube at Waypoint Vice. I'm on Twitter at Rob Zachney. Patrick, where can people find you?
At Patrick Klumpik.
Kato.
At @A_Kato_appears.
Cam.
At CU Kunzelman on Twitter and rangetouch.com for other podcasts that I do.
Our theme music is by Bowen. The track is Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Learn more at waypoint.zone/BOEN. That'll do it for this week. We'll be back next week with another episode of Waypoint Radio. Until then, fuck capitalism. Go home. Maybe kill some people.
Yep. Nailed it. Just good, add that great. To the bottom of the dock. Just so we can trick Austin into saying that
maybe
next time.
Maybe kill some people. Good pod.
I mean, look, Lucas is there to be like, Agent 47, have you considered class awareness? Have you considered that this entire world rests on the shoulders of skilled labor, be accepting compensation, but not the riches, not the power?
Agent 47 is just like, I don't know, I kill people.
Is that think labor about it too hard? That's the real question.
Yeah.
How do you expropriate murder labor?
Right.
I just want to know where I'm from. And Lucas is like, don't care that much.
No, no, Lucas is like, I remember exactly where we're from, and it sucked. Yeah. That's his whole like plot. God, the plot. Yeah, I started playing through kind of the campaigns again, and I was like, good God, so much of this is set up from the beginning. It's a lot to sit through.
Right.
Listen to. Kato, what kind of file do you want here? You want a WAV file from me?
Yeah, WAV would be perfect. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You don't want an AIFF?
God, this is, you're literally the only person who's ever given me an AIFF. And I don't know why. Yes. Everyone else gives me waves.
Looking for an OGG? Looking for an Ogg Vorbis file? Or?
Yeah.
I swear to God, Kato once said, I prefer AIFF because it's... What was it?
I think I gave a range of options. Wave being one of them. I might have thrown AIFF in there for
yeah,
whatever reason.
I feel like you did a little bit of like... Oh, like you were like... Of
like left the door open to an AIFF. Yeah. If you're a little AIFF curious, then you know, don't let it stop you, Rob.
Capital T, capital right. F.
I am exporting this. Oh my goodness, what a pretty little file.
What a what?
I'll be the waveforms are really special, Cup.
Yeah.
They're really nice. It's very
good.
Very
great.
Tidy.
It's just going
to be. You must let me know if it sounds different. Because my mic wasn't getting any noise at all. So something about the wave might actually, this might be the cleanest it's ever been.
Yeah, this is what I've always said. Turn the gain down, you're going to pick up less. You actually, I keep telling this, I had this conversation with Gita recently. You want to think about gain less like volume and more like an orb around your mic. The more gain, the further out that orb is going to pick things up. It's, you know, it's a area of effect, really, more than specifically volume. I mean, it is, it's both.
An AoE spell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Like sure. Yeah. Why not?
Okay. Cool. You guys hear me okay, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Weird. The waveforms are so low.
That's good. Leave it alone.
Kato, they're tiny little babies.
It's a fine.
They barely can break the line.
You can always make them bigger.
I should just lose. Here's the thing.
Do you have a? Do you have a? Do
make them spiky.
Don't make them spiky. Do you have a meter on in Reaper somewhere where it shows you like the actual decibel? What are you hitting?
Yeah, talking bounces up to -18.
You're great. You're fine. Even if the waveforms look tiny, it's okay. They're actually good.
I like strong, bold waveforms. All right, I will trust you, Kato.
Yes.
It's not my aesthetic sensibility.
I like my waveforms to look like anime hair. Mm-hmm. I need some Dragon Ball Z in my waveforms to feel confident. I get it, Rob.
All right, let me.
It doesn't look like Super Saiyan Goku. It ain't right.
Exactly. Yes, that is my audio engine. That's what I learned in audio engineering school.
Oh, funny. You went to that because I didn't.
Yeah, it was called. Yeah, dragging a waveform into. Fuck, what was that? I forgot what that program was called. The one that did it for you that I still use on my Mac.
Levelator?
You know, you have to like. Yeah, you have to like hack your Mac and like hack not the registry, but like you have to trick your Mac into running it because it's like no, we don't do this anymore.
Not supposed to.
Well, people picked up the Levelator's legacy, but they're all paid services, which makes sense.
Right.
That's absolutely a service you should charge for, not just give away as just a free piece of software that is like does at least gets you 90% of the way there. Because I looked into it when Katie and I were doing Till Death Again when we were on our maternity leave and everything was like, do I pay $15 a month? I was like, that seems reasonable. That seems like a totally fair asking price. But no, like I'm going to find a way to hack Levelator to work again and see if anyone complains. And my small audience didn't complain. So I stuck with Levelator.
Good.
All right. Everything is set. I am so prepped for this.
I'm going to send Rob a picture of my waveforms, and it's going to really bother him. He's going to spend all the podcast like slowly turning his up. Mine are nice and spiky right in the middle, not too big, not too little. Very satisfying to look at.
Mm. The Goldilocks light waveform.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, everyone at time.is?
Oh, I'm not. Hold on. What do we? I'm recording locally, right? And we're syncing with time.is. Yes, is that the case? All right.
Just like last time, however many... Was that like a decade
2 years ago?
Yeah.
I've like moved and gotten a different job since then. I've got other stuff going on in my life, Kato. I don't have time to think about time.is.
Hey, I went through the time.is normie site, and here's what it is offering. Depression self-test.
What?
Test your eye vision. Take a depression test. Best franchises to own?
Mm.
SUV.
Like the best SUV? So,
wow.
Just SUV. Just,
just SUV. No buying one. Best one. Just SUV.
The time is right for you to own an SUV. All right. My clock is 0.2 seconds ahead, but I think we'll be fine. Should we clap on 30?
Wow. Rob's here. We get like an infinity to wait.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Good clap.